Welcome to Android App Addicts, episode 447, the show where we talk about Android apps, Android hardware, how much we love Windows, and all sorts of other stuff like that. I am your host, Mark, sometimes known as the Sultan of the Soapbox Cockerel, and joining me this week are the people you're really here to see, are Eric, the Executive Ardini, and Steve, the door-to-door geek McLaughlin. Hello, gentlemen.
Hey, Mark. How's it going?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
I'm good. Hey, I got a new logo, Mark. Oh, you didn't get to see it yet.
No, I didn't.
I don't know if I can share it here with you.
Yeah, he's going to mess up his camera.
Yeah, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. I'll be changing my logo. I've had the Play Store as a logo on like Google Plus, as long as the Play Store's been open. So I'm going to change that out.
Yeah, and I always saw postings, and I said, well, Eric posted. Oh, wait, no, that's Google Play posted this.
Mm. That's funny.
You know, and when I took that, I thought, this is going to be not unique. I've never really ran across anybody else who used it, so I claimed it as my own for a while.
Good job. So how are you doing, Mark?
I am doing pretty well, thanks. Had a bit of a momentous occasion in my own life, in the life of my man cave. I got my, I told you, I think a couple of weeks ago that I got a projector that I scored off of eBay. Well, today I hung up, I got a screen. So I have a 100-inch pull-down screen down there. It's amazing what a difference it makes when you're not just throwing the image on a gray sheetrock wall. It changes everything.
Is your screen white or gray?
It's white.
So how much did you get this projector for again? I want to say, was it like 50 or
shipping, tax, everything, $57.
Nice.
Do you remember what the retail of it was?
Well, it's a few years old, but yeah, I knew it would have been like $900.
Oh, my goodness. So I guess you're pretty happy with the end result?
It's, like I said, it's a few years old. It's a 1024 by 768, so it can't do true 720p. And there's a little bit of a screen door effect, where you can see the pixels. But you know, it's certainly great for $50. I'm probably not going to live with it forever. When I can score another one, I will. But for now, it's great. And so I've got I think I measured it the other day, it's a 94-inch image on my basement wall there.
See, I gotta imagine watching sports on that is like meant to be.
Well, the leather sofa that I picked up on Craigslist is only about 6 or 8 feet away, maybe 8 feet away from the wall. So with an image that big, it's a 7-foot image, right? 7 feet across, and you're only 8 feet from it. You literally can't take in all the screen at the same time. So you're moving your head, and it makes some people hate that. I like it because it's a more immersive experience. I have to, something happens at the top left part of the screen, I have to look up and to the left.
So it's like you're watching tennis.
Kind of, yeah. But, in the event of like a football game, right, you have to track the football across your field of vision, which is, that's the whole point of having a big screen, is to be not only like you're there, but even larger than life. So anyway, that was, eBay for the win on that one. It was a $65 100-inch screen. Wasn't expecting much out of it, but it was actually pretty nice. It's a little wrinkled. I'm hoping those will fall out, but if not, I've read that you can hit them with a hairdryer and shrink the vinyl and pull the wrinkles out.
Right. So it was less than $1 an inch.
Yes. Yes.
That's good.
Was it rolled up?
Yes.
When you got
it's a pull down like window blind kind.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah. So all told, right? So I've got the projector. I've got a Roku connected to it. I've had to get some cables and stuff because it's old enough that it didn't have an HDMI, the projector, so I had to get a converter to go from HDMI to DVI. And the screen, all together, my whole 94-inch surround sound, well, it's not surround sound, I've got a sound bar, but the whole experience, I'm under $200 invested in it. So that's man cave on a budget right there.
That's some tightwad tech there, man.
That is classic tightwad tech. I'm not going to say I have hardware news this week. Do either of you guys?
No.
No?
Okay. But I will say I at least have operating system type news.
Well, there is the hardware rumor that the NVIDIA Shield version 2.0 is going to have over 2,000 video cores in it.
Well, yeah, it's already confirmed that the NVIDIA Tegra X2 processor, NVIDIA is saying is going to have, I want to say it was like 2,400 or something GPU cores.
That's insane.
Yeah.
I mean, is it really, can we just, have we reached a point where it's not any more beneficial to bake a better chip, but to just throw more chips on something. Is that where we are?
Well, what I'll say is, when I got the first Nexus 7, I got it when it was brand new, and it literally had like 128 GPU cores in it. And I literally thought, they're lying. This ain't real. This can't be. But then the performance I was getting out of it made me a believer. Well, of course it must have 120, because everything video wise was just butter. Smooth, perfect. I was like shocked at how well it was. Okay, the Tegra X2 Wikipedia page says Pascal base, which I kept hearing that word mentioned quite a lot, 256, sorry, CUDA cores.
So 256 is what the current model has.
But CUDA allows for parallel computing.
Okay.
I don't know. That's where my intelligence falls off a cliff.
It's the name CUDA, right? Because they have teeth.
What?
No, what? I don't know. I don't know why they call it CUDA.
I think maybe they were fans of the song Barracuda. I don't know. Yeah. I have operating system news, at least. Remix, Jide, the company behind Remix. I'm a big fan of their Mini, their Remix Ultra tablet. They had a bootable OS. You could basically put on a thumb drive and boot to. Well, they just released Remix OS Player, which I'm 99% sure is Windows only right now. And they say it works, quote-unquote, perfect on 65% of desktop and laptop architectures and hardware configurations. And they basically tout this is game emulator-focused. But you do have all of Google Play. You can install any Google Play app in a dedicated virtualized window, basically. So you boot it up just like you would boot up a VM, and in a window, Remix will boot up, and then you'll have an Android desktop where you can load games, apps, Play Store, anything inside Android. So they're doing their best to try to disrupt and be and make an impact, I'm going to say, because games are the hardest thing, I think, to emulate on Android. And they're saying they're touting games as being their first priority, so... If you're in a Windows box and you want to play with it, go and play with it. And I encourage you, please let us know your results.
I think that gives me a little project to do tonight or tomorrow. I'm going to put it on the... In our living room, we don't have a TV. We've got a laptop hooked to a monitor, and the laptop never gets flipped open. So maybe I'll install it on that with a Bluetooth controller from the Amazon Fire Stick and see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I am a big fan of Jide things. So I'm going to be biased towards this. I will say I did hear just a touch of bad news, and that is the Mini and the Ultra tablet will not get Remix 3.0 Marshmallow because they said that the chips in it basically won't support it, which I'm guessing won't support OpenGL is the thing.
Is Jide the maker of Remix OS?
Jide is the company behind Remix everything.
Okay.
It was a upper person from Google basically left and wanted to start his own thing. And like when I saw you could install Remix on the Pixel C for the first time, for a split second, I wanted the Pixel C. It faded, but I never before wanted that device until I saw you could put Remix on it, because the Remix ecosystem, environment, layout, windowed system is much better than anything I've seen on any other Android.
So what do you think about, I know we've talked about this before, but with the, you know, the world of just cores going crazy and software stuff, is the ARM device going to be the new platform of the future? Are computers just, you know, going to be servers, and then everything else is going to be the, you know, the quote unquote mobile platform?
I don't want to say yes, because in computers, nothing ever goes away, period. I don't know if x86 Intel AMD based chips will be in only one place, but I know ARM is encroaching on a lot of different fronts. I mean, there are ARM based servers out there sold by HP and IBM. We have laptop form function, you know, they're just like a laptop, but they have ARM inside them. With the phone sales being as ridiculous as they are, that investment, that monetary investment into the ARM ecosystem, I think is supporting other things that they're trying to do with ARM. So I definitely think it's going to keep broadening, keep getting more. I don't know where it's going to stop, But I do know Intel themselves actually said, I think it was 2 weeks ago, they actually bought a license from the ARM consortium, and they're going to start doing ARM chips.
So I predicted like a decade ago that computing would sort of merge, that there would be this data portal, and the data portal would be your television, your telephone, your computer. Everything would just be in one. And I predicted at the time that the data portal would be like in a wall in your home with some sort of handheld link back to it. But the history of the future, as I predicted back then, seems to be proving to that the data portal is the 5-inch slab of glass in your hand. And that's the data portal. So my prediction has sort of come true that everything is moving in that direction. It's just not the direction I expected it to move. I thought everything would move more, big iron mainframe-ish, but it looks like everything's going more toward the phone, the cloud, so to speak, as other people's servers.
So what you're saying is Star Trek The Next Generation did it right?
Well, I mean, in Star Trek, there was the big computer. The ship was the computer, and they interfaced it all over the place. So it was one central computer. And are we there? I don't know. Does Google count as one central computer?
Well, one central protocol, API, interface, data set, data store, maybe. But you got to remember, Picard only ever interfaced with the computer in his office, which was like he had the little stand-up computer. He had the little tablet computers, weren't very big. And then on his chair, he had his little buttons.
Or he talked to it.
He most of the time interacted that way. And I don't know if you saw, Mark, on ThinkGeek, you can buy for $80 a Bluetooth Star Trek The Next Generation.
Don't tell me that. Don't tell me that. That is the kind of thing that will suck my money away from me.
I understand. That's all I'm going to say. I understand. And I'm now looking forward to going to conferences and seeing somebody wearing one.
Other than you.
Oh, well, I can't pull the trigger right now.
Yeah.
That's what I keep telling myself.
I'll have to borrow yours. I don't think I'm ever going to order one of those.
I so will.
I'll borrow yours.
I mean, if it's a fully functional speakerphone comm badge.
Well, there's no speaker on it, I believe. There is a mic, and it is Bluetooth, and you can tap it and start up either Google Now or Siri or Cortana or, I believe.
All right, great. You just saved me $80 by telling me there's not a speaker in it. All right.
It makes a noise, though. It does. Now, it does make a noise, though.
Now, you can either have your device using external speakers, or you could have I don't know, because it's Bluetooth. I don't know if then you can have a Bluetooth headset on or earbud on. Yeah, you don't want to carry around a speaker. I mean, that's just...
Well, when you touch it, it plays a sound effect.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. I'm sorry.
Are you looking at it now, Mark?
I am.
Okay.
I'm going to close that. All right.
That's hardware news.
And it's hardware news.
I mean, I wear my geek right out there in the open. I wouldn't hesitate to have one of those. I mean, I've never gone so far.
I would wear the damn thing.
I've never gone so far as to wear the Klingon forehead or the Vulcan ears, but I would totally wear a comm badge communicator. But it's got to actually work. So that's what saved me $80. It doesn't work. It doesn't actually play the audio. All right. let's do some apps. Eric, why don't you start us off, please?
Okay. I'm going to start us off with a game, since I'm on a roll with having you guys install the games. Speaking of, have you guys played Higher or Lower yet?
I have. In fact, I got my whole team together last Friday, just sort of the last hour of the day thing, and we all took a turn at it, and my boss actually won with 13 in a row.
Ooh, 13. That's good.
It's really good. But yeah, it's a great, it's just a guess. Anybody can play it at any age, so that's what's so nice about it. You don't actually have to know the answers.
Yeah, see, that's why, as a child, I liked The Price is Right. I had some common sense guiding me towards what is probably the market value, the market price for that, versus Family Feud. What did idiots say when they called them up and polled them?
Hmm.
You know what I mean? I sucked at Family Feud.
And I did finish
I did finish the
Hidden by My Mom, My Game. That was surprisingly addictive. I did that in about 4 hours straight one Saturday.
Wow. Good job, man. That's like 3¾ hours longer than I've tried it. That's wow. I better be careful with what I throw out there now. You got me worried.
Well, I'll just say I understand the word addiction well.
Okay. Yeah. So my high score on higher or lower was 11. So your boss is superior. Good boss.
Yeah. I think I got maybe 6.
Okay. So here's one. I don't know how many hours you're going to spend on this one, Mark, but this one is called Six. S-I-X exclamation point by Graham Games, E for Everyone. It does offer in-app purchases. And it's got 3,622 4.2 stars review. And this game is basically a hexagon and sitting on top of Tetris pieces. And the goal of the game is to tap on the Tetris pieces and they will go away. But you got to keep the hexagon from falling off the sides. You got to keep it riding the tower down as you blast away pieces.
So I'm guessing the game then will not let you tap quicker than the hexagon is falling, and then just have it really land once.
Yeah, you can. You can do that. And in fact, as the hexagon's falling off the side, it'll give you like a last chance, like a last call to just tap as fast as you can to score some more points real quick too.
Yeah, I'll say that they definitely have a good idea in the sense of riding the success of Tetris. I mean, it's hard to go wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
It is Tetris.
But this is a really fun game. I'm not sure why the Vathanai fam in the reviews would say that it drains battery like water. It doesn't seem like it should be that bad, but I don't know.
He has a Moto X Pure, and once you turn the screen on, that's it.
Oh.
That's my guess. Could be. So this is not an Android app, but it's in the same vein as this. Stabyourself.net. There's a game called Not Tetris. Not Tetris is Tetris, but with physics. Okay? So.
Yeah, I think we talked about this before.
All right. It just reminded me because the polygon thing has physics in this game. A whole new dimension of difficulty to playing Tetris. All right, I won't spend any time on it.
Oh, this looks evil, Mark.
Yeah, so when you spin it, it keeps spinning until you make it stop. And then if it bounces off of something, it just bounces and lands crooked. And then it's there. It's an OCD nightmare.
Yes, I remember this. Yeah. Not Tetris 2? Or is there?
Yeah, that's the latest version, Not Tetris 2. The video makes it look really easy. It is not really easy.
Well, all videos do that.
Anyway.
Give you a false sense of, hey, man, you can play this.
Since I'm on an Android podcast, I have to bring in at least one non-Android thing every week.
That made perfect sense.
All right, Dor, what's your first app of the night?
Okay, first app of the night, I got to bring this one, because you want to talk about addiction. Richard Quirin, I believe, is the fella, the folk, the person, who put this in the Android app addict Google Plus community called Magnetic Balls Bubble Shoot. This is basically Frozen Bubble. If you remember the game from a long time ago, it's basically that. The bubbles did stick together in that game. But I will tell you right now, the physics in this game, I don't want to say they're exaggerated because that's an insult. They are at least slightly exaggerated. But the things you can pull off will make you think that, you're a master kind of thing if you play for a little bit. And it's hard enough to where you can lose a stage. But I can tell you, I went over 40 stages without losing once.
Yeah, because they don't fall. Fall up. So it kind of cheats on your behalf.
Well, they do fall up, but the top does constantly push down. You're not really seeing it really in any of the video because it's like 3 seconds or 5 seconds break, and then it pushes down. I'm going to say 3 or 5 seconds. And there is dead balls or marbles or whatever where you can't match them. You have to basically, you get bombs and you have to blow them up. Or they will just keep coming down towards you, keep coming down towards you. But this is the game you get if you want to feel better about yourself, is what I'm going to say. Because you can pull off some like mastery stuff where I've made it to where I had a like a hanging chad on the left side. And I did something in just the right way where it caused the entire thing to break off, spin 180 degrees, and land on the other side of the board. And unfortunately, I know I played this straight every bit of 5 hours, I'm going to say.
Wow.
So I will say, curse you, Richard. personally.
Yeah, I love me some Frozen Bubbles. I have played that game on PC and phone, you know, for hours and hours of my life. So I'm going to have to install this one, and I think I may hate you for it.
Well, the one thing I'm going to tell you that you will confirm, having the marble go around the outside, snap into place at the perfect spot, and then cause the entire structure to bend two or three and have it connect with that same color, and you make a chain and it explodes, that's a really good feeling. A really good feeling. 384 levels of increasing difficulty. Oh my god, I got a long way to go. This is by 10500games.org. 10500games.org. 96,000 reviews. E for everyone. Free to download. Does have in-app purchases of some sort. 4.2 average reviews. 56,000 five-star reviews. Version 1.96. Between 5 million and 10 million installs.
Somewhere in there.
One of the reviews says...
And if you look down, it's out of Russia.
One of the reviews says, good games, bad ads. That makes me a little worried.
I will say, even before you start the game, ad, hit the X. After every stage, ad, hit the X.
All right. You've just... I had installed it. I'm going to uninstall it without even playing it, if it's going to be like that.
Well, it is your complete loss, because it's literally a blink of an eye to get rid of the ad. And it's not work, it's not hidden, it's not obfuscated, it's not video, it's not motion, it's not movement.
If I can buy the ad, to make the ads go away, I'm fine with that. I don't mind people, I mean, I get programmers got to eat, but I don't want to look at ads. So if I can buy to make them go away, then okay.
I honestly don't know, because I never stopped playing long enough to look at it. And that's my excuse, literally. I never stopped playing long enough to say, hey, let me hit another button in this options or loading screen. No, I just hit play. And I will say, yes, you can basically silent all the audio and listen to your podcast, which is the reason I was able to play it for so long.
Yeah. All right. Eric, you go ahead. I'll just be over here playing this game.
Okay. So that game makes you feel good about yourself. This game, or this app, will make you feel good about the world. This is called, and we're right along the same themes, this is called Free Balls. And basically, you just take your phone, and you've got a bunch of little colored balls, and you can roll them around with physics and mess them up and use multiple fingers just to, then you can just let it sit on your, it's just a bunch of balls that roll around on your screen. You can let it sit there and kind of be like that sand thing that you got when you were in Daytona Beach that one time, and then you flip it over. And
I don't even know how to describe that to people listening on audio. It's
a bunch of balls, and you can change the physics, you can change it to liquid, you can change the number of balls, all of the variables, the colors that you would want to. You can shake it and do all kinds of things with it. It's a goofing app that just covers your screen with little circles.
It's kind of like buckyballs, yeah, I mean, or something.
Yeah, sort of.
Well, I mean, yeah, the closest thing I can say is like the sand web pages you can go to, and you can have like, you know, you can see the mechanics of different sand kind of thing. This is just little teeny tiny balls or like grains of sand,
mm-hmm.
but you can touch and manipulate them, Eric?
You can touch them with one finger. You can touch them with three fingers. You can mess them up all you want.
This is old. I'm going to say this now, Eric. This is old app. Free Balls by Freeman Zlat. 1,800 reviews. E for everyone. Completely free. No in-app purchase. Current version 3.04, 50,000, 100,000 installs. The last time it was updated, May 29th, 2014.
I guess there's not really anything to update, though, is there?
Well, and that's what I was going to say. I don't know what he would update, except just update the configuration.
And it probably runs interface a lot better now than it did then, I would imagine.
I don't know. This might be like Mark running his old DOS games.
Because it was probably like a Galaxy S2 or something when he designed it.
Maybe we need Moslo on it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm doing magnetic balls. I need to stop.
Trust me, I know. I literally twice was in meetings this week, and somebody started talking. And, this guy's an idiot. Let me play some balls. And then of course, you know, 10 seconds later, what do you think, Steve? I agree. I think that's a great idea. That's because I didn't know what this
is. All right, so let me read an email. And we have one from The Last Romantic, responding to an episode a while back where somebody asked about our favorite apps. And so we listed ours. And so The Last Romantic listed his. This is a bit of a long email, but I think it's worth it. So I'm going to read it. Says, I've enjoyed the show for a while. I always hear something to think about, if not try. My Android devices include a Samsung Galaxy S6 Active, a Kindle Fire 7, a cheap Irulu 7-inch tablet. I also play around sometimes with Android VMs on VirtualBox. Nothing useful to report there, just something to mess around with. The top apps I use on most of my devices are Evernote, my best productivity app everywhere I am. I'm a writer, and I love the ability to make notes and file retrieve them on every device. I keep finding new uses for it. Moon Reader Pro, my favorite reader for free ebooks, especially EPUBs. I read a lot. Speed Test by Cheetah Mobile. We have wireless broadband that is often flaky. Speed Test lets me keep up with what is happening with it. Facebook, my experience with it has been good. I'm a grandpa, and this is where I can mostly follow my kids. Player FM. So far, this has been my best podcast app. Not perfect. There are things I would change, but in general, it does what I want it to do. I would like to be able to customize play order better, though. ES File Explorer Pro. I've heard previous remarks about how it had gone downhill, but it's really been a good app for my use. So much so, I finally paid for the Pro version. Fat Scanner by Cool Mobile Solution. I often help my wife, who does Intarsia wood art, with developing patterns. Sometimes the original are larger than the standard letter size, so using my printer slash scanner gets complicated with stitching programs, etc. With Fast Scanner, I can scan just about anything with my phone, make adjustments for perspective, etc., and move it into the CAD program on my laptop to work with it. Much easier. Kindle, like I said, I read a lot. In addition to the aforementioned Kindle Fire, I also have the free Kindle app on every other device I own to access my Kindle library. It works very well everywhere. Lots of times I don't have my Fire, but I always have my phone. I like the concept of Audible as well. Audiobooks just don't work with my current lifestyle very well. At one time, I commuted quite a bit, and it was a very different story, so to speak. Kodi, again, works well with all my devices for quick media access, my player of choice. AccuWeather, I like it for checking the weather. Weather Underground is a close second. 8Tracks, my usual go-to for streaming music. Works more reliably than Pandora lately, though I have used Pandora for a long time. Another recent choice has been Google Play Music. I use all of them on all devices, mostly for background music while writing, etc. A couple of the above I had to sideload under my Fire, but as long as they don't have to keep referring to Google, they work okay. I got the Irulu 7 for about $35 online to be a cheap interim reader until I finally bit the bullet and got the Fire. I wouldn't do it again, but it worked okay, but horribly slow, and I had to keep optimizing it to use it for anything at all. I had two. One still works after some repairs. I keep it for a backup device. The Fire was only $50 and easily 10 times the better value. Live and learn. Keep up the great work, William. And he has a blog at raincrowsong.blogspot.com. So there you go.
Yeah. He's in the Mattermost server as well. We've had a couple chats here. I have to back him up real quick. That Amazon Kindle 7-inch Fire is by far the best bang for your buck on an Android tablet. For $50 or less on sale, you can get it for like $35 sometimes. It blows away mostly every other tablet, even up to like $200.
And I don't know if they still have the 6-pack deal, but for a while there, you could get 6 for $250, buy 5, get 1 free. That's just crazy.
Yeah, I tried to talk the wife into us getting that for Christmas, to where she could have it as a couch tablet, was my logic. She didn't go
for it. Because,
she said it.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, she just said it was too much money.
or you could buy one Samsung. I guess a half a Samsung tablet. I like the couch tablet thing. If you lose it in the cushions, you've got, you know, four other ones to go grab. You don't have to really look for it.
Well, we have this invention that actually, I believe, books have been made about, called coffee tables. And you know, we could even have a book on our coffee table about coffee tables. And it could have legs on it, and it could stand up. But yes, we would leave it on the coffee table. Now, the coffee table is jet black, so it would probably blend in. I will say that.
Is it black lacquer?
Of course.
That's man cave furniture right there. That's every college kid's first furniture, the black lacquer coffee table.
Yeah, this was an IKEA, like $27 coffee table. So I told the kids, if you lean on it, I kill you.
Don't touch nothing.
Exactly.
Okay, so that was two apps and an email. Eric, back to you.
Alrighty. I wasn't really ready yet. So I'm going to bring this app, and it is a game called Flip Diving. And basically you are cliff jumping in the flip diving game. You're jumping off a cliff, and you kind of pull back with your hand a little bit, and then you push forward, and that gives you the launch off of the rock face to get you out away from the rock so you don't hit yourself on the other rocks lower as you dive into the lake. And then you just tap on the screen a couple times to do your flips, and then your goal is to land like an Olympic diver would, with as little splash as possible without being a belly flop or anything like that. Landing feet first is okay. Landing, you know, hands first, perfectly, you know, perpendicular to the water is the best.
And it's that ragdoll physics that you see all the time. I have to assume there's some sort of developer plug-in for that, because everything has that same ragdoll physics, even to the point of the head coming off when you hit something.
You're right. They do. Like I guess it's like the Trials HD motorcycle game, that kind of thing. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, what was the one where you were swinging from rope to rope? You know what I'm talking about? Swimming from a rope in the building. Anyway, had the same ragdoll thing. Rope and fly. That one sucked many hours of my life away. Anyway, just a comment there. It must be something that's free and easy to use, because it's everywhere.
Or they just think is really popular and people want it. I don't know. But yes, I will say ragdoll physics do appear in a lot of places these days.
This one,
the graphic quality, I think, is acceptable. The ragdoll physics are a little floppy, but that's the nature of the beast. That's like saying, hey, that fire's hot.
2 out of 4, guys. Yeah. You've got me to install 2 out of 4 apps so far. So,
and this is from Miniclip, a top developer, E for Everyone, and does offer in-app purchases.
10 million plus installs.
Oh, I believe it, because it has 187,000 reviews. 137 of those reviews are 5 stars. My goodness, that's a lot.
137,000. Wow. He was leaving off some significant digits there.
Sorry. Brain completely flaked out because 1717 both places made me think I was...
This would be a great coffee table tablet game.
If you want the person next to you to stop talking, yes, I agree.
Or that you just don't care if they keep talking because you got something to do.
They're like having like a family meeting, and then they're like, hey, what do you think, Dad? Oh, yeah, that's good.
You just said quadruple my allowance. Yay! All right, Mr. Door, your next app, please.
Okay. I actually was negligent in what I was trying to do there for a second, but here we go. Okay. This is a non-game app, because once in a while we have to bring non-game apps or I think we're going to lose listeners. This is called Skyview Free. There is a paid upgrade in the market. This is like Google Sky Map. If you remember that app, basically you launch it, you take your phone, you point it at the sky, and it will help you find where are the planets, where are the constellations, where is the moon right now, if it's below the horizon line or above, kind of thing. And you could remove layers and stuff and look at things a little bit differently. This app, to me, does a much better job of at least being a little bit more interactive. This tells you a lot of details, I'm going to say, about space, planets, stars, clusters, constellations, novas, like all kinds of stuff. And it does help you find these things in the sky too, which I do think this is, to me, is a great, if a kid is interested at all in astronomy, he could have a lot of fun with this. I just thought it was cool. Skyview Free, Terminal 11, 16,000 reviews, completely free, no in-app purchase, E for Everyone. 10,000 plus 5-star reviews, version 3.5.3, between 1 million and 5 million installs. And it was just updated like 2 months ago, so it's not a, you know.
This is a nice app because, you know, little kids always ask about the constellations. And, you know, there's the Big Dipper and there's Little Dipper. Those are easy. But then these other ones, you really got to use a lot of imagination to say that looks like a scorpion, or this looks like... Well, like the picture in here, a horse with a man's body holding a bow and arrow. A horse body with a man's torso shooting a bow and arrow, I guess. yeah, it's a stretch, and this helps you know point that out, and I guess that's how you would get your astrological signs from.
Go back in time there and consider, you know, when you had literally nothing else to do at night but stare up at the sky, and you could really make up some cool stuff. But
yeah,
I'm with you, man. When somebody says that's Orion the Hunter, that's three dots.
Right. You know, it'd be nice if they could add to this app and let you just shoot up at the sky and connect the dots yourself and make some new ones, and then you could post them to their, you know, to their forum, you know, and you know, show off the cool constellation.
That's a brilliant idea.
Came up with yesterday.
Brilliant, but quite dangerous as well. I'm sure we would see a lot of like 80085
boobies
constellations and stuff like that.
There would be a lot of phallic symbols in the sky.
Oh yeah, exactly. And I'll say, and you do remember, light pollution is real. What they saw back then compared to what, even if you go to the middle of the Atlantic or the middle of Antarctica, it's still not as clear as it was then because of light pollution. I mean, the only light we had back then at night was the moon, lightning bugs, and little teeny fires. You know, that was it.
Yeah.
Good point.
Good app. I like this one.
Yeah, just we have to bring not games once in a while too, you know.
Just to let people know we're paying attention. Let me read a quick email from Soham, just because it's been around for a while. Soham Bapat. 10 days ago, he says, "Hey guys, I heard last episode Mark saying that he was having issues with good battery life on his X Pure. I too was underwhelmed with my 5X battery life, and for me, Greenify's aggressive doze really helped when I was on the move and my phone wouldn't doze. Aside from this, the new Android backup feature, backs up app data, was also a considerable battery drain when I was using an app that was getting backed up. That said, it's a pretty handy feature, so I enable it at night before a factory a night before a factory reset. Hope this helps." So Soham, please don't think this is in any way an insult to you, but this is the same thing that I get anytime I complain about battery life. And the response is always, well, just don't use your phone. And here's a clever way to not use your phone. Here's an app that disables most of the functions on your phone. You get great battery life when you don't use your phone. It was the same with the Moto 360, the first watch I had. Like, you know, the battery life was terrible. You'd read forums and they'd always say, well, just don't use it. Keep the screen off. Keep tilt awake off. Turn notifications off. So if you just have a piece of metal on your wrist, battery lasts all day long. And the same as the phone. All these aggressive features, all they do is not use your phone. And I'm not mad at you, Soham. I'm just saying there's got to be a better world when the solution to bad battery life is don't use your phone.
Yeah, and I'll say my biggest gripe about Greenify or any of those kind of tools are, for instance, here's a real-world example. If I don't open Voxer for an hour and then someone sends me a Voxer message, Voxer's dozed. I'm not going to get a notification. I got to open up Voxer, and then I see, oh, somebody sent me a message. So that's the thing I really didn't like about Greenify, because I had it installed and I was seeing better battery life, but then I thought, if I have this app dozed, so it can't prompt me, it can't notify me because it's being killed in the background, shouldn't I just uninstall the app? So I kept going through that loop, and I finally just said, screw it, I'll just carry around a portable battery, and I did that for like a year.
All right, so there's an email and my probably excessive response to it. So Eric, back to you, my friend.
Okay, I'm going to bring this one. It's not a game because we need to bring things that aren't games. Otherwise, people will stop listening.
I heard that.
And
brilliant, Eric, brilliant.
So this one is probably a lot of people might check this one out and stop listening both, even though it's not a game. This is called Cloth Simulation 2. Basically, you get to pick your favorite fabric pattern at the top, lay it out into the field of play below, and then manipulate it by moving it around, and you can tear it. If you pull two different ways too hard, you can tear it, and shreds of it will fall off. And that's anything you could want to do with, say, like a 6x6 square sheet of fabric. But you don't have to waste all that money at Joann Fabrics. You can actually just do it on your phone.
Eric?
Yes.
Eric, what the hell is this?
This is Cloth Simulation 2 by Dr. Okid, or Drokid. It's a simulation app. It has no in-app purchases, and it's E for everyone.
And it's got over 10,000 installs.
It has 194 five-star reviews.
Eric?
Yes?
Can I ask you a question? Whatever process you went through to find this app, can I ask you to change your process of that a little bit?
You guys just aren't into the claw.
Okay, you guys saw, the Kickstarter for the fidget cubes, right?
Yeah.
This is a fidget app.
Yeah.
Now it makes perfect sense.
Yeah. You don't have to be into denim door. You can do plaid if you want. It's cool.
There's plaid. There's gingham. I don't know what gingham is. There's florals. Everything you need to know.
Okay. I think I need to bring it back. I think I need to bring something big here, guys. Okay. What I'm going to bring here, I honestly think this was a console game. At least at one point in time, I don't remember ever really hearing about it or playing it, but I actually did see, I've been hooked on watching speed runs on YouTube where they basically just plow through a game and make you feel incompetent. Like, this guy just blew through Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, didn't even get touched the entire game, and just blew through the entire game in like 35 minutes. I played that game for 5 months. I couldn't beat Sandman, you know? And this game does not have a video.
Must be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Must be awesome. It's called Metal Slug 3 by SNK Playmore. I believe SNK basically branched. They have a little like child agency doing nothing but mobile games or converting games to the mobile platform. So it is a top developer, T14, right now on sale. Normally $2.99 on sale for 99 cents. 12,000 reviews, 6,000 of them are 5-star reviews. This is eligible for the family plan, which I'm a big fan of that. 100,000 and 5,000 installs, version 1.8, just updated like a month ago. I like this. I was able to just load it on my GPD. Didn't have to configure the gamepad. Everything just works perfectly out of the box. Shoot. This is definitely the kind of game, if you got a bullet count at the end of the game, even if you suck, your bullet count's going to be like 5,000.
So it's
because you just constantly shoot.
So this looks like, I obviously can't see it played because there's no video. This looks like the old Contra game on the Nintendo. Is it the same kind of gameplay?
In the gun action itself, yes. There is power-ups. There is upgrades where you just walk by and you can pick them up. Enemies mainly come from the left and from the top. Once in a while, from the right and the top. Once in a while, they come from the left. It is a moving environment. So, like, in the very first stage alone, you'll be on a boat floating down, and you have to be shooting things all around it. So it's definitely Contra-like in its function. Graphically, though, I'll say it's definitely a step up, but it's still definitely cartoony. I want to say this might have been, like, originally maybe a Neo Geo, and then maybe play like a PlayStation 1 game, possibly.
They say it is a perfect port from the original Neo Geo game.
Have you tried up, up, down, down, left, right to see what happens?
Completely didn't even think of that. But I will say, you got to be good. On the first stage alone, which like Contra, you walk down. The difference is like literally 20 feet into the level and you got to fight what's in the very first screenshot. It's like a barricade. You got to blow it up. Then you go past. The first level alone, I literally had to continue like 3 times. I suck. But it was a hell of a lot of fun, and it's the kind of game where I could see if I sit down with it for a little bit of time, I could have fun and do really good. It does built-in support Bluetooth controllers as well. So that's why it worked seamlessly with my gamepad. No messing around, finagling, switching stuff up to get it to work right. It just works.
Okay. I don't have another email, do I? No, I don't think I do. Well, there's one here. I'll read half an email from Benjamin. It says, a follow-up to I wrote a few weeks ago about upgrading my new S7 or S7 Active phone, and thanks for the input. I've decided to pick up a Mint S6 Active, 4 GB, on the cheap on Swappa. That way I can make my change without locking into a contract. I'm outside and away for long times on my runs and bike rides, so the durability, battery, and extra life extra environmental protection is valuable for me. The S6 wasn't perfect, but it was still a solid phone for my taste, and 64 gigs will be tolerable until the next year or so. I will still be buying the wife a discounted iPhone 6 now that the new 7 has come out. Hey, she married me. I won't judge her if she wants a simple phone and needs FaceTime for work situations. Anywho, more apps than time to play with, but that little alchemy game is quite the time sucker. Still only 89 items created, trying not to look for hints. So he was the guy who we said, get a OtterBox and get on with your life. That was that's a summation of our 15-minute rant.
Yeah, I will say a phone is an utter personal choice. You got to go, my logic is you always got to go into a store and you got to touch it, feel it if possible, see how it, and I hate saying it because it makes me sound dumb, hand feel, how it feels in your hand. Does it feel like the right device? Because literally in the first couple of seconds, you're going to know, can I live with this or can I not live with this? That's really to me the ultimate deciding factor on a device. And, you know, spec support, updates, patches, yada, 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 yada.
Which is why, of course, I bought the Moto X Pure, expecting updates and frequent security patches, and that didn't work.
Why would you expect that? Oh, wait, yeah, that's right. They did
promise. Something about the word 5X. Pure in it.
I bought the 5X because I had to leave my carrier, and I had been in the Samsung world so long, I never knew what it was like to be even close to being up-to-date. This is a nice feeling now.
Yeah, Samsung is not known for being super responsive with updates, are they?
Well,
no, but supposedly on their latest devices, they have been pushing security updates. The September one is going to come out here in, I think, a week or two, and all the quote-unquote experts are saying Samsung's already said you're going to get it in a couple weeks. So they're getting better, I'll say.
That's probably true through one layer, but then you've got the U.S. cellular layer that I was trying to go through too, and they just wouldn't, they refused to do anything as well.
Yeah, this is why I would always, I don't like buying my phones from a carrier. I don't want, there's already enough people wanting to dip their hands into my pocket, get my money. There's already enough people trying to control stuff. Let me buy it straight from the manufacturer or unlocked.
I got it.
Yeah, and the email guy went to Swappa. I cannot encourage people enough. Once in a while, just go to Swappa. See what your device can be sold for. It's a very simple process, very easy process. They give you a number. You take a picture with that number on a piece of paper next to your phone as verification that it is you, it is this. You cannot sell broken phones on Swappa. They have to be bootable. They have to be usable. I've had nothing but great experiences from them. And you can get some really good deals if you're patient. And if, because you can put little like watchers on devices, and every time a new device gets listed for that type, you'll get an email. Really, really, really good service.
So, how does Swappa compare to, say, you know, Craigslist or eBay, which sounds like the same kind of mechanic? So, how is it different? How does it differentiate itself?
As far as I'm concerned, every time you buy anything from eBay, it is a gamble. When you're going to get it, what it's going to be like, is it going to work, is it going to be a stolen device. eBay does no verification on EMI numbers, which doesn't mean your device is guaranteed to work, because they can do trickery to, you know, bypass that, but they at least try to ensure it is a fully functioning device, non-stolen device, and it's focused, it's niche. You're not going to do a search for iPhone 6 and come up with 35,000 cases.
That's a fair point.
You'll just get the phones and the devices. Now, the problem is it's only phones. So if you want a tablet, they are starting to do some wearables, I believe, like some of the watches, but it's only phones. That's it. Nothing else. The other thing I really like about Swappa is, hey, it's right off the top. No matter how much you sell a phone for, you're giving Swappa 10 bucks, not a percentage, not this amount for this, that amount for that, just 10 bucks. So everybody knows what's going on here. Also, when you go look at any phone, they have right beneath the main description of the phone charts showing you how much those phones have sold for like 6 months straight. So you can see either the price going up or the price going down. So you'll know when it's a quote unquote good time to buy or good time to sell. Their support is utterly responsive, and I mean utterly responsive. I've posted comments and things asking the service question, 3 to 5 minutes maybe, I get an answer. Every time I post about an item, and I bought now, I think, 4 items from it, every time I post a comment about the item, the seller has always gotten back with me in less than an hour, 2 hours maybe. On eBay, I've once in a while sent in questions, and I've never gotten a response. So I like the idea of a niche community, focused community on just phones. I felt safe there. I'll say that.
All right. I'll have to give it a try. But it's just phones.
Phones and I think wearables, watches and stuff.
Tablets.
No, I don't think they do any kind of tablets whatsoever.
Really?
They do.
I thought they did. I thought I looked for them before.
They do. iPads, Nexus 7s. So if you want to sell your Nexus 7 2013 with Wi-Fi, you can right now sell it for $100 plus.
Really? That's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay, back to you, Eric.
Okay, this app here is a VR app, and I have to thank Door for sending it my way. This, I would say, if there was ever a killer app for VR and for the Google Cardboard, this is it so far. This is the best thing I have seen on VR. And if you want a Cardboard viewer from us, or you've got a device or two you haven't really played with yet, this is a must download and check out. I don't know if you're a fan of Queen or not, but Bohemian Rhapsody is a pretty famous song, and Google themselves has went to great lengths to make this video show exactly what the future of VR and music combined together can and may possibly be. This is the craziest, trippiest, coolest, I don't know how long that song is, 5 minutes, maybe 4 minutes, that you're going to spend in your Cardboard or VR headset currently, without it being like an Oculus and you're full on gaming and things like that. This is a truly enjoyable experience. Everybody I've showed it to is just grinning ear to ear the entire time. It is just a very enjoyable thing to check out. I think you can actually watch it in a 360 mode, so you could pan and move around on your screen of your computer. It's probably not going to be nearly as cool of the effect as the Cardboard is, though. And it came out yesterday, I believe.
So give us an idea of what it is. I mean, even the video doesn't really tell us about it. It looks like maybe you're walking through an animated environment.
The video is a documentary on how they made this app. You just kind of stand there and look around, but there's just things going on all the way around you, above you, and below you. You look anywhere you look, there's just stuff happening, going perfectly to the song. It's kind of hard to describe, but if all music had videos made like this, I think everybody would be listening to music with VR headsets on.
So VR killed the video star?
VR killed the, yeah.
So this is like the lava lamp of the 21st century.
Yes.
You get you toke some up, and then you put on your VR goggles and you listen to Queen.
That's the thing. I don't think you need to toke some up anymore. And I think this may be, you might have just said it there. This may solve the drug war. The war on drugs has now been solved by Google using neural networking and visualizations and a piece of cardboard and two plastic lenses.
See, you forgot one of the most key parts, Eric. Also because of cloud computing and from synergistic something.
Well, and it was because they pivoted when they were on drugs. They went to this.
Yeah. Bohemian Rhapsody experience marketing at Google. Only 570 reviews. That's how you know it's new. E for everyone. Free, no in-app purchases. Literally updated September 15th, which is
today. And it went to 1.01 today. So I haven't tried it today to see what they changed, but it worked pretty well yesterday.
Yeah, I'll just say this. Queen, I don't know when their highest point of popularity was, but I know I was still quite inept when it came to music. I really didn't know much. All I know was, another one bites the dust. Yeah. And that was about it. I watched a documentary on Queen maybe a year ago, maybe a little bit less than a year ago. Wow, is all I got to say. The stuff that guy put himself through purposely because he wanted to live the dream. Really, he wanted to be an opera singer. That's one of the weird things. And he said, well, if I can't do that, I'm going to do this. And I'm going to do it the best I could possibly do it. The passion, is what I'll say, this guy had for his shows, for that experience of doing a show. I don't want to say unmatched, but damn, is what I'll say. Damn. If you watch that... I can't remember what it was now. What was it? Live Aid concert where he just tore the damn place up. People were flipping out. he wasn't really singing. He was screaming because the place was so loud. But of course, because he's Freddie Mercury, he still sounded good. He would have been 70, I think, last week. And this song, to me, was really, truly made famous thanks to Wayne's World.
In the loading screens, they said that it was their first number one hit back in the 70s. And then it also came back in 1991 to number one for 3 weeks, definitely because of that movie. I see this, it's made by marketing at Google. Once again, it's Bohemian Rhapsody Experience. It's made by marketing at Google, which is the same company that came out with the Train Up app that I brought a few weeks back. So I'm pretty sure this is telling everybody, I don't know, it spoke to me. Google's coming out with their headset very soon, and this app will be the one that you put on a pair of Beats headphones or some kind of cans. I used cans when I showed it off and checked it out for myself. Put some good headphones on, strap this to your head, and this will sell those units right off the shelves.
I'm almost ashamed to admit this on this show, but I've never had a VR experience ever. That's fair. I've not even a Google Cardboard, and I've none of it ever. Not even back in the 80s when, you know, you could go to an arcade and put on the helmet. So I don't have any frame of reference for any of this at all.
Never one of those little rides in the mall that moves a little bit. It's got the roller coaster film going on the front.
Well, like at Disney where you're in a car, but never a goggles or a helmet type experience.
Okay.
I mean, the Disney Star Wars ride is about as VR as you're going to get, but it's a corporate experience.
I think I would encourage you to just buy a cheap set off of AMZ Review Trader or something, we looked a couple of them up last night. There's a few of them on there for free to leave a review with. And this would be now if this is your first experience, you may be underwhelmed after everything else. This is definitely above and beyond anything else that I've seen in VR. So if you start out with this one, you might just keep listening to this song over and over again for a little while.
Right, and me and Eric were just asked the other day, what should I get for my first one? We both agree, you just get the cheapest damn one you can find because you just want to, like, litmus test. Is this going to pass mustard? Am I going to want to do this more? Does this seem like it could be cool? Because if the answer is no, then you're not out a lot of money. And if you join Amazon Review Trader, where me and Eric and Mark once in a while partake too much in, you can get the quote-unquote Google Cardboard replicas for free or like a dollar. So it's kind of hard to pass up.
And I'm really psyched because one of our listeners, Bill Miller, is sending me a Samsung Gear VR, which are still like $100. And I still have my Note 4 that I can't wait to play with it. Because that is a much better experience than these AMZ Review Trader plastic eBay VR headsets that look like a Gear VR. They're not the same. But that's okay. With this app here, Google has kind of made it just fine for a Cardboard viewer. And that's what we use. We didn't use anything above a Cardboard. We're holding it on our heads the whole time. Got the headphones are a must. You have to have headphones on when you do this. And just enjoy it, guys. Give me your feedback if you don't think, or if you think it was as good as I said, or don't. I don't know. I'd like to know. Maybe I'm just nuts. But
yeah, I'll just say this, Eric. My Irish lineage, every single person who played the official rugby-like sport, who professionally could only play for a couple of years, then had to get massive shoulder surgery and they were gone from the game forever. And my teachers literally during lunch would tell me, you can't go out to recess. You have to write 30,000 lines. And if you don't, tomorrow it's doubled. So my shoulders cannot hold that device for even 3 minutes. I can't. I have to have the head strap of any kind.
They do have cardboards with head straps too.
So I would encourage people, unless you're the kind of person who could hold your hand up in class for 5 minutes and not flinch kind of thing, you might want to get a head strap.
All right. Something to consider. I think that's a good, well-rounded show. If it's just something you just have to bring, let's do that.
Well, I don't want to, I will bring something, but first, I made a video bit for Eric, but I put it on YouTube and anyone can see it. I put it in the Google Plus community Android App Addicts, not the club, just Android App Addicts, showing a quick brief walkthrough on how I use, how I remain ad free, nag free from TouchPal, and how I utilize the clipboard function and the editing selector tool function. And then somebody said to me, a good friend, well, I see you do videos when Eric asks you to do videos.
Yeah, because nobody else is asking, right?
Contraire mon frere. I've been asking for years for people to tell me what you want.
Yeah.
Nobody else has asked me to do a video on anything, period. So it's hard to make videos when people don't ask me for them. So if there is something you want to see done, how I do it, or how Mark does it, or how Eric does it, there's a really simple process. And the app actually I'm going to bring is the app I used to make the video. And it had a built-in plugin for an editor. It's called AZ Screen Recorder.
And keep those video requests free in G too, okay, guys?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm going to be recording my phone. So yeah, AZ Screen Recorder No Root. And yes, right now, I'm ashamed to admit it, but I'm on a non-rooted device. My phone isn't rooted. I went back to the OnePlus here in the last couple of days. I'm going to ship out the Zenfone 2 to a good friend to play with. So with no root, I'm able to record the screen or take screenshots. The configuration settings are very good. You get the countdown before it starts to record, good amount of quality settings. And then when you're done doing a session of a screencast, in your notification pane, one of the options is to edit the video. And when you go to edit the video, if you don't have the plugin installed, it will say, do you want to install it? So the accompanying application is called Plugin for AZ Screen Recorder. And now there is a pro version. I didn't figure out just yet how much that is. With the pro version, you can trim, you can cut, you can actually do some small amount of, I don't want to say professional editing, real editing, or you can crop. There's a whole bunch of different things you can do. You can go to a certain spot of the video, stop it, and then like draw over passwords or something else like that. So it actually had, I was fairly shocked at the level of editing you could do right built inside this app. So this is the app I'm going to use when I do videos, at least for now.
So with the free version, you can't trim at the beginning and end of the video?
It looked like for the trim or for the cut.
But you can do cropping? That's pretty amazing. That's neat.
Yeah. It worked pretty good, but if you watch the video, you'll see near the end as I'm typing, something takes up a lot of resources, and basically the keyboard gets force-quitted and then it relaunches itself. So maybe it's the screen recorder taking up RAM, because I never have had that happen before. So I'm not going to say this is a perfect application. Like you shouldn't use it to record games, because games require processing. But if you just want to do screen recording, this works pretty good.
I have used this one time, and just as a word of warning, it will record your mic while you're recording your video. Maybe that's something you can turn off, but by default, it does that. And so when I recorded my video, it also recorded my 8-year-old singing Eye of the Tiger in the background, or, you know, just something to be aware of.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure in the configuration you could say record internal audio or straight from the mic. And I had my wired headset on with the mic built in, and I honestly think it picked it up pretty good.
Yeah, it sounded good. Can you also export to YouTube from this app?
I didn't see a direct thing. Maybe in that plugin there was a way, but I just simply launched YouTube, went to my videos, clicked the up arrow,
okay,
and right there I could put in a title, description, tags, stuff like that.
They're from Hanoi, Vietnam. Well, thank you for the AZ plugin.
All right, Eric, have you got anything else that you need to bring?
No, I've got a few more in the tank, but I'll save them for next week.
All right. Any other comments or words of wisdom?
Try VR if you can try it cheap, and if you need to go all in, you know, get an Oculus or something. Go ahead. I give you permission. I'll sign your slip if you need to.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'll end off by saying bacon pancakes, making bacon pancakes. You take the bacon and you put it in the pancakes. Bacon pancakes. Oh, sorry. My child found a 10-hour YouTube video of just that song singing from Adventure Time, I think it was a TV show, on Saturday, and they literally played it for 10 hours because they didn't believe it would actually do it.
Speaking of art,
so every every time I worked, I walked by their room doing, you know, chores and laundry and stuff, I heard that song going off.
Wow, they're going to be scarred, man.
But they already are. They are my kids, after all.
My kids, for a while, were addicted to the baby monkey, riding on a pig, baby monkey. And that played for hours and hours and hours in our house. No matter what, I couldn't stop it. There was nothing I could do to make it go away.
My animated thrills have been had as of today, because South Park is back with a new season, so I'm happy.
All right. Like, that show's still going on?
20th season.
Wow.
Oh, my Lord.
Yep.
I seriously didn't know that. Wow. Simpsons are on, like, 27 really or something, old. Right?
Probably.
I want to say 30.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably 30. I know South Park came out when my wife and I got our first apartment, and it's definitely been a big part of our lives. How sad that season, is, or how warped that season, may make us.
Yeah, season 28, it looks like.
28 years of Little Yellow People.
I'll just tell you guys right now, you are both making me feel really old.
Well, there's a reason for that door.
Yeah, it's because I'm really old.
All right, folks, I'm calling it. That's the end of the show. I just want to say, if you want to give money to Door, and there's really no reason you shouldn't want to give money to Door, there are a couple of good ways to do that. One of those is go to patreon.com/androidappaddicts. Pledge whatever you want. He's got his set up on a monthly basis, so you pledge X number of dollars per month. Or you can go to podnuts.com/Amazon, make your regular Amazon purchases from there. No difference to you. They give us a little kickback for a referral fee, and Door puts that money to good use. There's probably a tip jar somewhere where you can just throw money at him that way. But really, as a fellow podcaster, I know this isn't free. This stuff doesn't just happen. I know how much work he puts into it and how much money he puts into it. And any little thing you can give him is worthwhile. He wouldn't say this, so I'm going to say it for him. If you want stuff to continue, the best way to make sure that it continues is to pay for it, plain and simple. So patreon.com/androidappaddicts is probably the easiest and most effective way to do that. Having said all that, thanks for hanging out with us. Guys, as always, thank you for letting me be here for over a year now. Somewhere back there, I passed my one-year anniversary. Thanks for that. It's been cool. And we'll see you next week, because that's it for this episode of Android Appaddicts.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.